Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome. So glad you tuned in today. Happy Monday. I'm sure that you're very busy right now getting ready for the Christmas festivities, but I'm so glad you tuned in today because maybe you've wondered this about yourself. Maybe you've ever thought, I'm too young, or I'm too old, or I've experienced too much pain to be part of a bigger story. Well, we're talking today about three women who are in the Christmas story that proves that God sees you, he loves you. We're going to talk about Mary, who seemed too young, Elizabeth, who made me seem too old, about Anna, who had seen much pain, and yet how God met these women in their story, and he meets us in our story. I am so excited to welcome to the show Liz Curtis Higgs. She's a best-selling author, an amazing speaker, and God has used her in huge ways to bless and mobilize the kingdom of God. And it's just an honor to have her on the show. Let me tell you about her. We're going to get this conversation started. Liz Curtis Higgs, a popular conference speaker and author of nearly, listen to this, 30 books. She's got more than 3 million copies in print. She and her family live in Louisville, Kentucky. And you can learn more about her on the web at LizCurtisHiggs.com. Liz, welcome to the program. So great to have you with us today.
Oh. Susie, it's such a blessing. Thanks for including me this busy week.
Absolutely. And I told you off the air, your writing is just beautiful. Oh. So, you know, it's one thing to have great content, which you do, but there's times as a fellow writer that I just pause and look at the way you formed a sentence, and I appreciate it so much. So I just appreciate the gift of God in you.
Well, and, you know, if you just keep writing,
yeah.
My theory is if I just keep writing, maybe the next book I'll get better.
That's
God
great
is
advice.
Kind to teach us and to help us grow in our ministries, whether they're speaking or writing or loving that person sitting across from you at the kitchen table.
Mm, indeed. Well, we love, Liz, to start out our conversations, talk in Scripture. I'm wondering if you have a verse that God's been speaking to you about, or either that or a life verse that you'd love to share with us today.
Oh, life verses. We could go down a long list of those that have become precious over the years. But, you know, there's one that leaps out to me from this nativity story that I just love. And it is Luke 1:45. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. Mm. This, of course, is Elizabeth, the older, speaking to Mary, the younger. But these women, they weren't just relatives. They were both, first of all, pregnant by surprise.
Yeah.
Think about that. Pregnant in a miraculous way. Yes, in Elizabeth's life, a man was part of that pregnancy. And in Mary's case, it was a work of the Holy Spirit. But in both cases, it was miraculous. No wonder Mary hurried to Elizabeth's house so that she could connect with somebody who would maybe understand what she was going through. The thing is, Susie, I always thought that when Mary went to visit Elizabeth, you know, she just kind of ran down the street. This is where getting deep into the Scripture, looking at the historical context, and in this case, the geographical context, to understand that Mary, and she was so young, Mary, 12 to 12 and a half years old when she was betrothed, went, depending on how she traveled, 70 to 100 miles to see this Elizabeth, because Gabriel had told her, even Elizabeth, your relative, is expecting in her old age, she who was thought to be, I love that, unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. And so that was such a clue to Mary, a double clue. One, miracles are possible. And two, here's somebody who's going to get it. You know, when something amazing happens in our lives, we choose with care who we tell. Because you don't want it to seem like, wow, look at me, I'm Sandra D. You know, you don't want it to look like we did something special when God does a blessing. But you also don't want someone to discount it and say, oh, well, lucky you. If God does an amazing thing, we'd love to tell that to somebody who will praise God with us. And, of course, Mary chose the perfect person, and that's Elizabeth waiting down for her outside of Jerusalem.
Mm. When you think of that passage you shared, you know, blessed are you who believe the word spoken over you. Bring that to today's terms for that person listening today who maybe is in that valley of despair and their hands feel empty. What does it mean when we are blessed, when we believe the promises of God are true for us as well?
Sure. Well, first you got to start with the promises themselves. I think you really can only absolutely trust the Word of God. I love that you begin the show with Scripture, because that's where we need to start as believers too. So often we turn to each other. That's not bad, but it's not best. If we can go to the Word of God and say, okay, Lord, show me, what is your promise to me? The challenge is we read them in the Word and we don't always believe them. In comparison to Mary, who believed, we have at the start of the story Zechariah, husband of Elizabeth, who didn't believe. When the angel Gabriel came to him and said, your wife will bear you a son, his immediate reaction was, and by the way, this is the LRV, the Lizzie Revised Version. So I hope you don't mind a little LRV.
No, let's do it.
But you know, basically he said, no way. No way. I'm old. My wife's old. She's an old lady. It's not going to happen. All he could see was all the reasons it was impossible. But we serve a God who makes things possible. Even Jesus said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things, and that is so inclusive, all things are possible. So I think when we read the promises in Scripture, and there are hundreds of them, when we read them, the first thing is to, this sounds kind of basic, believe them. Instead of finding reasons why you're pretty sure they won't work for you, is to say, okay, Lord, this seems like a huge leap of faith to read this on the page and imagine it happening in my life. Like, Lord, I can't believe that this marriage is ever going to be right. Lord, I can't believe this relationship can ever be healed. Lord, I can't believe my prodigal son will ever come home. We struggle to believe when we look at the circumstances. And that's what Zechariah was doing. He was looking at the circumstances. I'm too old. She's too old. It can't happen. Her eggs are cooked. You know, it's not going to happen. And yet, if we understand that when God says these things, they aren't suggestions. They aren't maybes. They aren't, here's what I'm considering. They're fact. And young Mary, so young, she took it as fact. When Gabriel said, you're going to bear a son by the Holy Spirit, her response was, first, huge humility. Behold the bondslave of the Lord. A bondslave is someone who has no will of their own. Just let that one kind of sink in, because that's so anti who we are. We all want our own will. We all want it our way. But Mary starts by saying, I'm completely flat here. I'm humbled. Behold the bondslave of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to your word. In other words, that promise you just made to me, let it be so. Let it be so. And so no wonder Elizabeth praised her. Blessed is she who has believed. It's the belief piece that's the hard part. The promises of God, hundreds in the Bible. The fact that they can and will come true, a guarantee, because these people in the Bible show us that God is trustworthy. The leap of faith comes when we stand on the edge and we say, Lord, I don't see how, I don't see when, I don't see where, but I see you. I see you. And I'm willing to step out, Lord, on absolute faith, just trusting you and not worrying about what other people say or think, what their opinions are. Lord, I'm going to trust your word. It's the hardest thing a believer does. It's the hardest thing. Saying, I believe that God is God and that Jesus is his son and my Lord, that's one thing. But saying, I believe everything God says is true and will be true for me, that's that big leap of faith. That's that extra huge step, I think. I mean, even the angels, even the demons believe that God is real, the scripture tells us. But it's not just believing he's real. It's believing that his promises are for you. They're true and they're for you.
Wow, I'm so glad you tuned in today. I told you, you're going to find some encouragement here talking to Liz Curtis Higgs. She's got a beautiful book out titled The Women of Christmas, Experience the Season Afresh with Elizabeth, Mary, and Anna. And her generous publisher, Waterbrook, has offered us 5 copies to give away to the first 5 callers. Maybe you've got a question, or maybe you want us to pray with you and stand with you and encourage you today, or you'd like to chime into the conversation. Now's your time. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. 5484. Otherwise, if it's easier to email me, you can do that at Susie@myfaithradio.com. I love everything you just said. What stands out to me, Liz, is when you were saying, standing on the edge and saying, I don't see how, I don't see when, I don't see where, but I see you. And I just know someone's listening today going, I'm there. I don't know how this scenario will ever work out. But you're just asking them to tilt their chin up a little bit and say, see God and see that his promises are true. Love that.
Well, and as I say, I think, you know, we've just got to go to his word. It has stood the test of time. Millions of believers stand on this word and know that it's real and that it's true. When our faith falters, which it does, everybody's does every day. This year, speaking with women of faith was such a blessing to share the message of Mary and Elizabeth. But Angie Smith was one of our speakers. Susie, I'm sure you know
her. She has been on plenty of times. Yes,
brilliant,
we love
woman.
Her.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And she spoke about doubt this year, which I thought was such a brave thing to do. We almost hope that the doubts we have will just go away. We don't want to talk about them, let alone put them out there for other people to discuss and look at. But that was her message was brilliant, and it was based around doubt and that God can handle doubt. And this is a time of the year, I think, when if we have doubts, they tend to rise up. You start to think, wow, a baby in a manger is God? Can it really be? Especially if you don't know him. And for the first 27 years of my life, I didn't know that Christ child in the manger. And so Christmas to me was all about shopping, trees, cookies. There was nothing about Jesus. I didn't get it. And so I'm always really sensitive to that person who's in a doubting place or a place of discouragement. They used to believe, and now they're struggling to believe. I get it. I get it, having been there.
And the holiday season definitely seems to amplify whatever it is we're feeling. So it's
right. Especially
painful when it's pain that we're feeling. Well, I want to back up just a tiny bit because you've written so many books. What about Elizabeth, Mary, and Anna jumped out at you enough to go, I'm going to put this in a book around Christmas? How did that inspiration first happen?
Well, you know, I've been doing a Bible study blog for about a year and a half, and I'll be honest, I've focused for 3 decades, I guess, on the bad girls of the Bible. And I love them. They spoke to me because I'm a former bad girl, and so they gave me hope. Stories like Rahab and the woman at the well, I would read their stories and go, oh, maybe there's hope for me because look what happened for these women. But in those years, I would pass over, as it were, those good girls like Elizabeth, Mary, and Anna, and I would feel so intimidated by them. It's like, I could never be that good. Finally, I talked to the Lord about it, and I said, Lord, I'd love to study these women, but you've got to help me understand, why are only good things said about them in the Bible? Are they perfect? Because if they are, I can't even get a toehold there. I can't enter in, and how could actually any of us? And his sweet words to my heart were, Lizzie, I show you their righteousness because that's what I see in them. I don't see their sins. Those are under the blood of my son. Those sins are paid for, forgiven, and over. What I see is my righteousness reflected in them. And so that's why I give them to you that way in my word. And it's like, oh, so they're still real people. They're just forgiven. And he said, yes, and while I have your attention, that's how I look at you and your brothers and sisters in Christ, Liz. All you see is your sin, but all I see is my son. Mm. It's just, I mean.
It's scandalous, isn't it?
It is. I've been walking with the Lord for 32 years, and it's still, I'm sure you can tell in my voice that I've got tears in my eyes, it still overwhelms me. That his forgiveness would be that big to cover all the stuff, not only all the stuff I did before I met him, all the stuff I've done since I've known him.
Well,
it's
a little
less flashy and splashy, but it's still ugly. It's still sin, you know?
Yeah, you're so right. I think I'm remembering this right, but, you know, in the Old Testament, we read about Abraham's Sarah. You know, she laughed at the thought.
Oh, yeah.
But then in the New Testament, she's regarded as a woman of faith. And isn't that just such a picture of what you're talking about, that is how he sees us, right?
And Rahab's in that list, too, by the way. Remarkable. But, yes, you know, Sarah laughed. Now, it says in the Bible she laughed to herself. So I've always pictured it as one of those kind of little laughing up your sleeves, under your breath kind of laugh.
Yeah.
She didn't laugh out loud, big noise. But it didn't matter because God heard her.
Mm-hmm.
and then she actually said, no, I didn't laugh.
Yeah, right.
That, just, which,
Yeah.
And he said, yes, yes, you did laugh. Now, if I'd been God at that point, I would have said, yes, you laughed, and because you laughed, I'm not going to give you that son I promised. But see, that's not how God works. Mm. He made a promise to Abraham, your wife Sarah will bear a son, and she did. Even when Zechariah doubted, the angel Gabriel didn't say, well, okay, if you're doubting like that, then I'm not going to give you this son. I'm not going to confer that blessing on you. No way. The child, John the Baptist, was still born to Elizabeth. This is the big aha of God's grace, is that it is not dependent on us getting everything right, because then we're doomed.
Mm.
It is dependent on his faithfulness to his promises. And that's what overwhelms me literally every day of my life.
Indeed. And me as well. And that is, you know, the Christmas story, it gets lost in the shuffle. But maybe you're someone today who needs to remember how God sees you. And if he wrote your story, how he'd even write it, because he sees you with the eyes of mercy and love. I'm talking to Liz Curtis Higgs today. We've got 5 copies of her beautiful book to give away, Women of Christmas. It's amazing. 877-933-2484. We've got Esther calling in from Sioux Falls with a question. Esther, welcome. You're on the air with Liz Curtis Higgs.
Well, thank you, and Merry Christmas to the both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Esther.
What's your question?
I have a question that I have not been able to find in Scripture, but I'm sure that if Liz has written a book about them, she may have stumbled across something in the cultural traditions that might help to explain it. But I have always wondered why, if Mary went to Elizabeth and they shared this wonderful common bond, why didn't Mary stay until Elizabeth's baby was born? It seemed like that would have been educational.
It's interesting, isn't it? Yeah, I wondered that as I wrote the book myself. And in fact, many of the movies, the Nativity story being my favorite of the movies because it's the most biblically accurate. But in the Nativity story, Mary does stay. But in Scripture, she goes home. At the end of the 3 months, she goes home, and then Elizabeth has her baby. We don't have an answer to that, not either in the Bible or in any of the commentaries I've looked at. So then I think we have the freedom to climb into Mary's heart as a woman and say, why would she be anxious to get back? Well, 3 months pregnant, you know, at the end of the first trimester, things are happening. You now look pregnant. It is time for Mary to face the music back in Nazareth. And I think there also may have been something to do with the weather, the time of the year. We really don't know. It does seem that she would stay, but she goes home. And as I say, faces the music. And it was hard music. It was music in a minor key. When Mary went home pregnant and Joseph was waiting for her, we can only imagine what went through his mind. She left. We were betrothed. She's come back now pregnant, obviously not by him. Do you know he had every right to charge her with adultery, which, as we know, in those times would have meant she would have been stoned. Joseph would have been the first to throw the stone when Jesus said, you know, let him who is without sin throw the first stone. That was the law. The innocent party got to throw the first rock. Joseph could have done all that, but he's one of the good guys, and God chose very carefully this young woman, and this young man chose a good guy. So the story had to return to Nazareth is what I think. But I wish, Esther, I knew specifically why, but I can't tell you that.
Mm, great answer. Great question, Esther. Thank you so much. Talking to Liz Curtis Higgs today, the title of this beautiful hardcover book is The Women of Christmas: Experience the Season Afresh with Elizabeth, Mary, and Anna. The writing is beautiful. The content is so rich, and it really will give you a fresh angle and look at this Christmas story. And this isn't just for Christmas time, because as you know, as Christ followers, this is a story that lasts and endures every day of our lives. 877-933-2484. Ashley's calling in from Maple Grove, Minnesota. Ashley, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome.
Hi, Ashley.
Hi. Thanks for having me. I was just listening to you guys talk, and it just really made me appreciate how awesome our Lord is. Mm-hmm. He is just amazing. You know, when I wasn't following him, I was in a relationship that was kind of going nowhere. You know, we had a kid together, but we were just living together, not really doing much. And I started following the Lord, and I left. I took my child and I left. And And my now husband, he saw the changes in my life just from following the Lord. And we got married, and he is now a believer, and we just had our second baby.
Wow.
And all just from picking up that Bible and deciding, you know what, this is who I'm going to follow.
Wow, I love a testimony like that. What a thrill. What a thrill.
I know.
And I love that you've echoed where we started this hour together. Pick up your Bible. You know, you've got to get into the Word of God to know His truth. It's great to listen to shows and hear people speak and read books, but ultimately, it's the Word of God that's going to change us, and that by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Ashley, thank you for your testimony. You're going to love this book, and we've got a copy for you.
I know. I'm so excited. Thank you.
And thank you for following. Yeah, thanks for following Christ, and congratulations, and Merry Christmas to you and your precious family.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
Bless you, hon. 877-933-2484. Liz, let's talk for a moment about Elizabeth, and we can carry this conversation past the bottom of the hour break. But we had Dee Breston on about a couple weeks ago, and she said it's possible to be blameless and barren, speaking of Elizabeth. And that statement about knocked me over, because it's so easy in this culture to make formulaic conclusions. You didn't do right, and that's why you didn't get right. Speak about her scenario and how it applies to us today.
Oh, yeah. When you first meet Elizabeth, it's kind of amazing. We know that Zechariah, her husband, is a priest. That sounds good. She's a descendant of Aaron. That sounds good. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God. Righteous means in right standing with God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. So you're thinking, this is that couple you know at church. They do everything right. They are there every time the church doors are open. They love people. They give generously. They serve God. And then you hit the next verse that starts with this word, but. It's one of the big buts of the Bible, as it were, because suddenly what you were expecting, and they were blessed, is not what you get, but they were childless. Because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. So it's a triple whammy. They didn't have kids, they couldn't have kids, and they were too old to have kids. Impossible, impossible, impossible. And as I said earlier, when you come up upon impossible in the Bible, when everything looks bleak, this is when God is just making a way for a miracle. He wants to lay it all out. You think even if you leap ahead to Easter, in the darkness of Good Friday, darkness covered the earth before we had the explosion of Sunday morning. And right now, this had to be so dark for Elizabeth and Zechariah. They must have scratched their heads. What have we done wrong? We think we've done everything right. And they had. But the timing had to be God's. And the miracle had to be His. And the credit had to go to God. See, if they'd had children on a normal time schedule, perhaps 20 years earlier, everybody would have said, wow, Zechariah, he's the man. But in fact, everybody knew it was impossible. And therefore, when she got pregnant, wow, it could only be God. And He gets the glory for it. In fact, when she steps out after 5 months of seclusion, when she steps out of her house, first words out of her mouth, the Lord has done this for me. And so she doesn't even praise her husband first. She praises God first. The Lord has done this, and it's so personal for me.
That is so beautiful.
That He would love her so much that He would do this for me. And of course, what we read in Scripture, these people's lives, we can echo those words. It isn't just for them. It's for us too, Susie. We get to say that too.
So, so beautiful. And you think about this, when He makes us wait so often, it's because He's making us ready. We can think we're a have-not, but we're really somebody in waiting, in that He's preparing for to bring glory to His name. And so sometimes it's a stewardship, isn't it, when we are waiting with empty hands? Well, we feel like a have-not, and everybody's a have.
Yep, it surely is. And, you know, I came to know Christ at 27, didn't marry till almost 32. And in those 5 years of singleness as a believer, I just hate to tell you how many people said, well, God will now bring a husband. And when He didn't, you know, my heart just broke over and over again when people said, God will bring you a husband. It's God's perfect timing. And by the way, God's perfect choice. I'm glad I waited.
So good. Having a great conversation with Liz Curtis Higgs, talking about her new book, The Women of Christmas. We've got 3 copies left if you want to chime into the conversation. Love to hear from you. 877-933-2484. Otherwise, email Suzy@myfaithradio.com. We'll be right back. You have any idea how much God loves you? You're the object of his affection, and you're why Jesus came to earth. Talking to Liz Curtis Higgs today, she's got a beautiful book out called The Women of Christmas, Experience the Season Afresh with Elizabeth, Mary, and Anna, looking at 3 exceptional women from Scripture. Really, in their story, they look so ordinary, but God has marked them, and he marks you and I. And so we're just talking about the nearness of God and how really he's writing a story with each of our lives. Got 3 copies of Liz's book left to give away. If you have a question or want to chime into the conversation, we'd sure love to hear from you. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Here's an excerpt from Liz's book. It says, when God's blessings are piled on our head, it's easy to be faithful. The real test comes when disappointment calls and sorrow pulls up a chair. And Liz, I would love it if you'd speak to that listener who longs to experience that Prince of Peace that while they're waiting in the season of not yets. Because again, we were saying before, these not yets feel especially heavy to us in this season when it seems like most everybody else is celebrating.
Of course. Well, I think the hardest part is not knowing when it's going to end. If we knew absolutely, you can do this for 3 more weeks and then it will be over, anybody could hang in there for 3 more weeks. But it's the big question mark of how much longer, Lord, how much longer. This is what comforts me, and maybe it might offer a word for your listeners. God knows exactly when it's going to end. It's part of his plan, and it is a good plan. It's his best plan for me. We are never going to understand it fully. We don't have the capacity. We can't stand back far enough from ourselves to see what this is going to look like in the big picture. And so this is that trust piece again. But it is hard. It's hard when we can't see the end. It is comforting, though, to know that God, who loves us completely, not only can see the end, he wrote the end. He's finished it. This is a silly comparison because writing a book in the big scheme of things is not a struggle. It's hard, but it's never a struggle. Still, in the midst of writing a book, I sometimes throw myself across my keyboard and say, Lord, I see no end here. I don't know how I'm going to do this. And it comforts me to know in his kingdom, this book is already written. It's done. If he knows every word that's in our mind, if he knows every word we're going to say, he also knows every word we're going to write. And so I rest in that. It's like, Lord, I can't see out. I can't see a way. But I can see today. Today I can be faithful to you and trust you with tomorrow. I'm not even going to think about tomorrow. I'm just going to be faithful today, trusting all the rest to you.
So good. I've got a few more questions about Elizabeth and Zechariah before we move on to Mary and Anna. But something that stands out to me as I was reading through your book regarding Elizabeth is that, you know, Liz, she still showed up for life. She served God humbly, even though she no doubt underneath it had a broken heart. And again, I think especially at Christmas time, it's just so easy to nurse our disappointments and miss those divine opportunities to see him in our midst, as you say, right now. So maybe explain the importance of showing up for life when you'd just rather crawl into a hole.
Oh, right. Yes, and you know, for Elizabeth, it wasn't just her personal disappointment. In that culture, a woman was expected, in fact, it was the only requirement of her, that she provide sons for her husband. It's how she brought honor to the household. The husband brought provision, but the wife brought a son. Or more sons, lots of sons, ideally. And so for Elizabeth, she not only had to bear that personal heartbreak, but also this feeling of disappointing her husband. In fact, he would have had the right to divorce her just for not giving him sons. And the shame of everybody around her. Everybody would have been clucking their tongues and shaking their heads and saying, "Isn't that a shame?" That's why when she steps forward to show the town that she's pregnant, when she says, "The Lord has done this for me," then she says, "He has taken away my disgrace." And so I love the fact that God is taking care of us in that way. Of course, you asked me about how she stood faithful. That's something I want to know, too. You know, one of the hard things, like your question earlier that Esther had for us, you know, why did Mary go back? One of the challenges of the Word of God is it tells us everything we need to know. If we really need to know it, it's in there. But it doesn't tell us everything we want to know. And of course, because I'm a storyteller at heart, boy, I'd like to just fill in the blanks. But we're called not, in fact, to do that, not to fill in the blanks. This is that faith piece again of saying, what you've given me, Lord, the light you've shed on this woman's life is enough for me. Mm. And I think we know she was faithful because when she finally opened her mouth, the Lord's name came out. And as far as Zechariah, this is so fascinating. When he doubted, oh, yes, they still got the son. But the fact of the matter is, the angel told him, okay, you're not going to talk now for 9 months until that child is born. You will be living in silence. And because of the word that's used in the Greek, it's thought that he also couldn't hear. And in fact, later people talked to him with their hands, which suggests that he couldn't hear. He is plunged into silence for 9 months. It is not a punishment to him. That is not the way I read it at all. He asked for proof that God could give him a son, and Gabriel said, okay, I'll take away your voice. Is that proof enough of my power? And I love that he did prove it to him, but in an unusual way. Now, here's Zechariah, 9 months of silence. You talk about disappointment. He can't even tell anybody that his wife is expecting. He can't do anything except talk to God. And so 9 months are up of this darkness, this silence. What's the first thing he does? He praises God. When he opens his mouth at the birth of John the Baptist, the first thing that Zechariah does is he praises God. So I think these people are showing us how we weather these hard times. And it goes against the grain. In some ways, when you're hurting, what you want to do is complain. At least I'm just talking at my house. Maybe that's not like that. But you know, when things aren't right, it's rah, 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 rah. You know, that's my, oh, I hate to say it, that's my human nature to whine and complain when everything isn't perfect. But then I look at these people and I go, you know, we have no record of them whining and complaining. What we have a record of them doing is praising God. And when we take a page from that, you know, our darling friend Ann Voskamp says this all the time, be grateful. Be grateful. Find reasons to be thankful. It really, it's a fact. It works.
Yeah.
If we praise, if we thank, if we find reasons to be grateful instead of reasons to be grumpy, it does help us get through that day. As I said, I can't tell you how to live for 7 years waiting for an answer from God, or 4 years, or 2 months, or whatever time frame he has chosen. But I can tell you how to get through this one day. And this one day is going to be praising instead of cursing. It's going to be thanking instead of blaming. It works.
It just works. I love that because, you know, the idea of showing up versus, you know, crawling into a hole, that's one thing, showing up for life. You know, everywhere we turn, we're rubbing shoulders without realizing it with people who are probably bleeding under their armor. So showing up is one piece, but then in the moment, stewarding the grace of that moment by thanking God and trusting one day I will see a breakthrough of some kind, that he's writing a good story. Because you feel like these two, both dealing with what they were dealing with, to have the heart that they did to give God glory, they were stewarding those in-between moments. And I just, again, that speaks volumes to us who are waiting for certain breakthroughs, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, for sure. I've got, you know, everybody always assumes if you're a speaker or writer, well, surely you've got all this figured out. Listen, Lizzie does not have it all figured out. And I'm standing on that precipice asking God for something big right now. And It's so scary, particularly if maybe somebody in the audience can identify with it. It's something you've asked him for a lot of times, something that you've struggled and come up against year after year, a January kind of thing where you say, this year, we're going to get this together, and then here we are in December going, Lord, it didn't happen this year either.
Mm.
And, you know, we just, I'm there, I'm in the midst of that. And I know that in praising him, I'm far more likely to going to be walking in the direction he wants me to walk in. If I'm looking at him, if I'm praising him, if I'm in his word and not being discouraged or dissuaded by the noise around me, because there's a lot of noise.
Yeah.
And not all of it's good.
Isn't that the truth? Well, I love these words from your book, and it's good for all of us. Hear this into your soul. I love this. God is in charge. God can be trusted. He does everything out of love. Fear not. Calm down. Why do we fear the worst from God when he loves us completely and always gives us what is best? Why is that? Why do we fear the worst when he really does love us and give us what's best?
Are you asking me?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Oh, that's right, Liz. You wrote the words. You'd be accountable to him now. Well, it is our nature again. And I think we grow up in an environment where we're surrounded by fears, other people's and our own. And so we attribute all that to God. I was disappointed by my father, so I'm going to be disappointed by God. I was abused by a friend, therefore, how could I ever trust Jesus, who was called my friend in Scripture? How could I trust him? And so it is hard, but we also know it is possible. It is possible. And I'm grateful, having walked with him for these 32 years, I'll be 32 in February, I've tested his faithfulness. I have pushed and shoved and elbowed and squirmed sometimes in his embrace. And he just never lets go.
Hmm.
Even when I ask him to, you know, sometimes it's like, Lord, this is too confining. Just give me some space. And he's like, no, space, girl, gets you in trouble. You need less space. You need to be so close to me that you can't tell where I end and you begin.
Mm-hmm.
I love the imagery, and David used it a lot in the Psalms, where he talks about being under his wings. And we picture a bird, a mother bird, with her babies tucked tight under her wings to such a point where their feathers blend and you can't tell where the baby bird ends and the mother bird begins. I think that's really what God is calling us to be. That's a place of peace and comfort in the storm.
Yeah. He who dwells in that secret place will rest there. So, so good. Well, let's look at Mary, and I know you've touched on her a little bit towards the beginning of the show, but give us some background and just some context so we can more appreciate what this precious little girl went through.
Yes, I think that the age thing is what set me back in my research and usually sets audiences back when I talk about it, because a girl was betrothed in that time and place as soon as she was able to conceive a child. So that would be 12 to 12 and a half on the average, sometimes even younger. But 12 to 12 and a half, that time when your mother says to you, you're a woman now. And that's certainly what my mother said to me. So however your mother came to you with that news, that moment in time is when a family would find a husband for the daughter, because she needed to be protected and they wanted her to have lots of childbearing years. Also, a man wouldn't marry a girl until he was sure she would be able to conceive. But once that time came, it would be a one-year betrothal. And at the end of that year, they'd marry. And in that year, they were to be chaste. They were husband and wife, but not consummated. That's that point when Gabriel shows up in Nazareth one day and says to Mary, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Not the Lord will be with you or the Lord may be with you. The Lord is with you. It's a statement of fact. So no wonder she was troubled at his words. I love that. Greatly troubled. Flipped out in the LRV, the Lindsay Revised Version, wondering what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, what angels always say, Susie, don't be afraid, right? Fear not. To which I'm always thinking, too late. She's already scared. But I love the fact, and you can check me on this, when an angel shows up and says, do not be afraid, and they do that a lot in this nativity story, next comes good news. Okay, that's the exciting thing. The next thing is always good news when they say fear not. What you want to worry about is an angel that shows up and doesn't say fear not.
Yeah, right.
Then you'd be scared. You'd be very afraid. Okay, bad things are happening. But here we have the angel saying, don't be afraid. You found favor with God. He's already told her she's highly favored. Now he's saying it once more so it really sinks in. You will conceive. I hear no maybe about that. You will conceive. And give birth to a son. Very definite words. And you, I love this, you were to call him Jesus. She gets to speak his name.
Mm.
Oh, man. Wow. He'll be great. And he goes on and describes all these incredible things about the Lord. And then Mary says, how will this be since I'm a virgin? See, basically, Gabriel lost her way back at you will conceive.
Yeah.
All the rest of that, she wasn't even, honestly, I don't think she was paying any attention. She's back at, wait a minute, how will this be? Now, you could say, well, isn't she doubting just like Zechariah did? I don't think so. She's just asking how. She's not giving him 10 reasons why. She's just asking how, since I'm a virgin. It's a very legitimate question. How? Also, God knew her heart. He knew Zechariah's heart, too. He saw that doubt in Zechariah. In Mary the Innocent, he's just hearing how. And so he gives her an answer, the Holy Spirit. And with that answer, that's enough for Mary. I'd have 1,000 more questions, wouldn't you?
Oh, my goodness. And you think
my.
Of her youth. I mean, you think,
my.
You know,
yeah.
Really, not very many years to really know this God compared to Zechariah, right? And so for her to have such childlike faith is amazing.
It is amazing. And it's the Holy Spirit at work in her. I mean, I think Mary is remarkable because God chose her. God didn't choose her because she was remarkable. It's the fact that God chose her that made her remarkable.
That's right.
And such an example for us to just be so trusting with this word, the Holy Spirit will come on you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Trust me. Trust me, God says over and over and over again in his word. He says to his people, in essence, trust me. This is going to happen. This isn't a maybe. You don't have to worry. You don't have to wonder. It's going to happen. And, you know, in the case of a baby, we do know the time frame. A baby takes 9 months. But will you notice that it doesn't say when the Holy Spirit's going to come over her? It isn't like at 2 o'clock tomorrow. You know, so she moved into this thing with a big faith leap, too, because not to mention all the trouble that was going to come. And she knew it. She was now going to be pregnant and not married. What shall we tell Joseph? How am I going to tell my parents? What am I going to say to my friends in Nazareth? Nazareth was tiny. It had less than 100 people. News got around that town in about 10 minutes. Think about it. Yeah. Hi, everybody. I'm back, and I'm pregnant, and it was God.
Right, right.
Wow. You know, if I'd had the nerve, I would have put her in Bad Girls of the Bible, but put Mary in Bad Girls of the Bible. But she, you know, really, she would have been seen as one in her time and place, an unwed mother. And
I'm sure there were people from her town who doubted her all the way through to the end, you know?
And Joseph, too, because once Joseph said, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and marry her. Okay, well, then if you're not charging her with adultery, then obviously this must be your son. It's just a fascinating story, and we're so used to the beautiful manger scenes that we set up in our home. And we don't think these aren't little figurines. These are real people, real, living, breathing people that trusted God. And because of that, they show us how we can, too.
You know, it's interesting, too, how they both had to kind of crawl through a low door of humility to be associated with God's bigger story. And Jesus did that as well. The prodigal dad did that as well. And so often, don't you find that the invitation is to get low before he lifts us up?
Oh, yeah. That's the hard part.
Isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is the hard part. And yet, how willingly they seem to do that. Mary, you know, with that bond slave of the Lord, it just doesn't get any lower in any culture than a bond slave. This is someone who would never be set free. And so she chooses that. And, of course, she was a humble girl. 12 and a half years old, give or take a few months, one way or the other, and poor. This is a very poor village, Nazareth. It's not on the trade route. There would have been no one of influence there. They were tradesmen and farmers and carpenters. They were not educated. She would have not been educated except by her mother. And yet, when she bursts into song, what we call the Magnificat, here is this incredible elevated language. Now, where did that come from? It wasn't like she wrote the song while she rode down to, to Jerusalem to see her cousin Elizabeth. It is a work of the Holy Spirit in that girl.
So I
stand in amazement at these women of Christmas. They've taught me so much about really believing, really trusting, really stepping out in faith, about waiting. Mary didn't have to wait at all. In fact, she wasn't even ready for this kind of thing to happen. Elizabeth had waited. And then, girlfriend, I hope we can talk about Anna,
and
if only for a moment.
I'm just ready to segue. But before you talk, Anna, just say a word about Simeon, because I thought it was so interesting how you were saying, you know, he was expectant, though other people were walking around the temple courts, not even aware of the wonder that was happening. He had an expectant heart. Just say a word about him, and then let's move into talking about Anna.
Right. I did have to, after all, include some of the men involved in the Christmas story, too.
Yeah.
It isn't just women. We also had Zechariah. We also had Joseph. And we also had Simeon, not to mention the shepherds and the wise men. But Simeon is a man in the temple courts, an older gentleman who has waited his whole life. And he's been told by the Holy Spirit he will not die until he sees the Messiah. And then again, the Holy Spirit prompts him when Mary, Joseph, and the babe come into the temple 40 days after his birth. They had to go through a ritual cleansing and a sacrifice for his mother. When they come into the temple, Zechariah sees that child and by the Holy Spirit goes, yes, that's him. And he makes a beeline over and gathers that baby up in his arms and tells Mary some really hard news. Really hard news. He tells her that it's not everybody's going to love your son. That's basically what he says. Not everybody is going to love your son. He will build some up and he will tear some down. And your heart will be pierced also. Wow. At that moment, my heart just stops. What new mother wants to hear anything like that about her son? But then, like a salve, Anna comes running up, and she does two things. And real quickly about Anna, you know, this is a woman a lot of people wouldn't know where to find her in the Bible. She's only got three verses, but they're so powerful. She's a prophetess, There's only eight of those in the Bible. She's one of them. She's the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. Oh, my goodness. We know more about her in one sentence than the woman at the well doesn't even get a name. But here we know everything about her, her background. She's very old. Specifically, she's 84. I love that. Why Luke thought we needed to know her exact age, I don't know, but we do. She was married 7 years. Interesting number there. That's the number of completion. That was the fullness of her marriage. But all the years since, she's been waiting, serving, worshiping, day and night, fasting and praying. She never left the temple. She never left the temple. Never, strong word. She never left. She was always in the presence of God. So, of course, when she sees Simeon holding this baby, well, she knows the story. He's been waiting. I've been waiting too. Now she makes her beeline over and does two things. Thanks God, and tells everybody who longs for his appearing, the Messiah has come. What I love about this, we've got these three women, okay? Elizabeth prepares the way, giving birth to John the Baptist, who prepares the way. Mary brings the Christ child into the world, but Anna, in this beautiful trio, Anna's the one who carries the good news out into the world. So a woman, we cannot fathom what a difference this would have made to the women living in that day and age who had, sadly, no value in their culture. God said, I am coming. and I am changing everything, and I'm going to use these three women just to show you how much I love my people, men and women. It was enormous. Mm. It was world-changing.
Well, I so agree with you, and this conversation has been so rich. In fact, one of our listeners emailed and said, she said, your topic today touches my heart so deeply. My husband and I are due to have our first child, a beautiful baby girl, in 2 months.
Wow.
And so she's going on about their goal to be stay at home, and she was just saying how God is using this. I don't have time to read it all. But as we get ready to wrap up and pray, I just want to highlight the three points that you make in the book of, that these women can teach us. And I feel like if we can take this away with us, and just have you say some parting thoughts about these three points before we pray: to wait upon the Lord, to trust Him with everything that matters to us, and to pray until our prayers are answered. Those are just such powerful points, and they're life-changing concepts for all of us. And so just say some final thoughts, if you would, about those points, and then we'll pray.
Right. Yeah, from the very beginning of the book, that's what I wanted us to be thinking about, is who these women were and what they were trying to accomplish and what God wanted to do through them. Waiting upon the Lord, it's better than any other kind of waiting, I will say that, because there is a promise wrapped around it. People will always disappoint. Circumstances will always fall short of our hopes, but waiting upon the Lord is always going to lead to a good thing. However hard it is, it's good. Waiting upon the Lord, trusting in His Word, praying until our prayers are answered. That's what Gabriel said to Zechariah. Your prayer has been answered.
Well, Liz, you have to come back. This has been such rich, rich time, and it's gone by too fast.
Be my total pleasure.
Oh, man. Well, when we wrap up, as we wrap up, if you would pray for that person listening today who is waiting and now wants faith to trust that their prayers will be answered, would you pray for that friend today?
Heavenly Father, what an absolute honor to open Your Word together with our friends who are listening. Lord, it is You alone who answer our prayers. We will let each other down. We will disappoint. We will be late. We'll forget. You are never late. You are always on time, Lord. We thank You for that. You never forget. You never, ever, ever forget us. You never let go. And Lord, You never say no. But You might say, wait. Wait. You hear our prayers. But the answer between hearing and delivering, Lord, that time is Your time, and we're just going to trust You for that time.
Mm.
We're going to trust You that You know best, that You love us more than anyone on earth could ever love us, and that You have a plan with our name written on it. It's not arbitrary. It's well planned. It has been planned. It has always been in place. And Lord, we delight in knowing if we can walk in it, eyes open, heart open, You'll never let go. Thank
Amen.
You so much.
Thank You, Lord. Thank you for listening today. This is Live the Promise. You can find a podcast of today's show on our website, myfaithradio.com. Everyday Relationships is up next.